Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
And I'm the Fat Man.
Today, we're coming at you with the cult classic sci-fi jungle escapade movie. Lots of laughs in this one. The Predator. Actually, it's not The Predator. It's just Predator.
Yep.
I found upon searching for where I could watch this movie, which turned out to be Hulu, that there is a Predator. There's a Predator 2, both of which I was aware of. There's Alien versus Predator, which I've seen.
Yep.
There's also The Predator. There's The Predators. Mm-hmm. There's, I think, The Predators 2. There's The Predators and Aliens Christmas Special. There's the
You forgot Alien versus Predator 2.
Yeah, Alien versus Predator 2. There's Charlie Brown, Where Is My Alien?
Now you're just making it up.
There's a lot in this franchise. Comes from very humble 1980s sci-fi action movie beginnings, Predator. So let's start off with first impressions of the Fat Man.
Like you said, cult classic. I don't know if I'd watched it all the way through before this watching, so I didn't realize how B-movie-esque it was with as much A-list stars as it had.
Yes.
And I'm being a little generous there by saying that A-list stars, plural, and that Jesse Ventura is
Jesse the Body Ventura.
Jesse the Body Ventura is in there.
He looks good. He looks really good. By the time he runs for governor, he is pretty fat compared to what he looks like in this movie.
Well, yeah, because he didn't have to look good at that point. Like, he made his money.
Yeah, that's true enough.
So, yeah, a B-movie for certain.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good way to put it. It's a B-movie, sci-fi B-movie with a bunch of A-list actors who may not have been A-list actors so much when this movie came out. But, you know, now they would be considered A-list actors. We've got... You know, we got Arnold Schwarzenegger, we got Carl Weathers, we got Jesse the Body Ventura. We have a whole cast of other people that don't matter. Actually, no, several of the other guys you would quickly recognize from other movies they've been in.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the other black guy, he is.
What was he from?
He's from a bunch of stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. All right. So much stunned silence there. Moving on now. But yeah, I enjoy it. It's a fun movie with some bad sci-fi effects and some really cool practical effects. And it's just an interesting concept. It's the most dangerous game taken to kind of the next level, right?
Right.
The most dangerous game being a story about a rich guy who hunts humans on an island. You uncultured swine. You've never read the book. But yeah, I don't know. Probably most of our listeners have read that book, I would guess. Or have at least seen an adaptation of that book.
Oh, I've seen an adaptation of it, yeah.
I mean, I assume it's the one with John Leguizamo in it playing the most dangerous game.
I guess. I mean,
have you seen that one, Bruce?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
It's like a comedy version, but he's totally being hunted.
I mean, they did a comedy version on American Dad.
I think most shows have done I know The Simpsons had.
Yeah.
Probably more than once, now that I think about it. Mr. Burns hunting Homer and the other people. I think they've both done a Treehouse of Horror episode short on that, and have done an actual episode where Mr. Burns attempts to hunt people. Or at least makes reference. I know he's at least made reference to doing that before. I would assume the American Dad one was probably pretty good.
Yeah, because they said it was Jimmy Buffett's most dangerous game. It was like a resort where it was like, you know, it was like they didn't actually kill people. They used, you know, paintball guns, but mm-hmm. The Smiths didn't realize that.
Of course. They end up killing several people, don't they?
They don't kill anybody, but they were hiding from them. And in the process of hiding from them, they went cannibal and ate somebody that they... So, because the whole episode centers around the Smiths trying to go on vacation with the goo. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, the goo episode.
Yeah.
And so they finally go on an actual vacation, but Franny doesn't believe them. She jumps overboard from the cruise ship. And so everybody went after her, including the teenage... she wasn't a cruise director, but she was like one of the people that, you know, did activities on the boats that worked for the cruise line that was trying to sleep with Steve, you know, in one of those rare instances where the attractive girl actually wants to sleep with Steve. And so they ended up marooned on this island. They thought it was an island. And then, you know, they go and find out that they're hunting them. So they go hiding. They get trapped in the cave and they end up eating the girl.
Yep. I remember this now.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't remember that episode, the goo is what Stan put his family in and then implanted memories of them going on vacation while they were in the goo while he hung out at his house and watched March Madness. I can't remember. There was like some reason.
It was just college football.
Yeah, it was some sporting event that he wanted to watch without his family. And so he would do that, which, if I remember correctly, resulted in sterility of the children.
Just the women. Be careful. Careful on that goo, Janet. It'll rot out your womb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we dissected that episode of American Dad in this episode about Predator, the movie featuring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers. So the reason we're doing this movie is because of Carl Weathers' passing.
Yep.
And we figured we would do one of his movies. This is the movie the Patreons, whom we love, picked. We love you, patrons. Thank you for all your support. If you're not a patron, become a patron. Just do it. Just click the thing. It's only $1 a month. You won't even notice it. It's not even like a tenth of the price that you're paying for Disney Plus or Netflix or whatever whatever service you're using anymore. It's you can't even buy a candy bar with $1 anymore.
Which is funny because candy bars used to be the thing. Like that's something I learned from watching Predator. The food that built America was that you could actually, that was why Hershey chocolate bars, that's how they sold themselves first, as a meal replacement thing. You know, you can eat this and not have to worry about food because it's cheap and you can still live because this will give you the calories you need to keep living.
Huh. Interesting.
Because it happened during, you know, the Great Depressions and whatnot.
Okay. Eat this. It's cheap. You don't have to sell children to in order to pay for it. Well, let's dive in to Predator.
Just generic action, 1980s action music.
1980s action music. If you want like real good generic 1980s sci-fi action music, Space Mutiny probably has the best.
Definitely watch that one.
Terrible movie that I've only ever watched while robots were making fun of it.
Oh, okay.
MST3K. You've watched it with me. Beef, hard chuck. Slap, grizzle dome.
You need to watch those again. Those are fun.
Yeah.
So, we doing this scene by scene or?
Heck yeah. We do everything scene by scene. That's our shtick, Bruce.
That's not true. We did. There was 16 makes candles.
Us difference. We did it scene by scene. We just did it in one go. We moved fast. We didn't do any real deep diving. We went, oh, yep, this is rape. Let's move on. Like, we will never do Revenge of the Nerds for the same reason.
Yeah, that's true.
Ever. We will never do that movie. Most of those teen romp movies have something like that in them, but Revenge of the Nerds is just that for, you know, 2 hours. But this movie has some potential. So let's do scene by scene.
So much like, because it is in the same story arc of Alien, Predator starts in space, and you see this spaceship flying through space. Yes. Riveting stuff. And actually what you see is, you know, it flies by Earth and then drops something.
Yeah, it does a flyby of Earth, dropping something down onto the surface.
The graphics of the spaceship, you could tell, 1980s.
It's all very 80s, all of it. Super 80s stuff.
You know, they spent a lot of money on it, you know, and that's why it looks like the way it does, is because they spent a lot of money on it. And you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And then we see a American Army Huey helicopter fly in over onto this tropical island. Credits rolling and whatnot. And of course, you know, for the effect, but it's like they're trying to make Apocalypse Now. Anytime they fly into an area, a tropical area with military equipment, and you're seeing like native housing somewhere around, there has to be fire. Not just like a cooking fire, like a rampaging fire, like Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, kind of fire. Interestingly enough, this scene caused me to think that they were in Southeast Asia.
Right.
Until they get to the rebels or whatever, their base. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, they're in South America or possibly Central. They never specify. They never specify where they're at or where they're going to.
Right. So then the Huey helicopter door opens and out comes our heroes, such as they are. The first being the first one that you see is Jesse the Body Ventura. And they're all in civilian clothes. So, you know, Ventura's got a MTV t-shirt on. The token Native American guy hops out. The token black guy hops out in a suit.
In a suit. A full-blown, with a tie.
Suit.
Suit. Yeah, he is by far the best dressed amongst all of them. He wins the best dress.
Coming out of a U.S. Army helicopter, you know.
In a full suit.
Into, whether you think it's Southeast Asia or in South America, either way, it's a hot climate.
Yeah.
So everybody hops out, and then you see one person in the Huey just laid back, feet up, and you see him light a cigar, and it's the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Was this before or after Terminator?
84, Terminator, and Predator was 87. So yeah, Terminator was first.
Okay, so Schwarzenegger was already pretty famous by this point.
Right.
So he is an A-list actor.
Without question.
At least in the action movies kind of feel. Mm-hmm. And I like this scene as sort of our introduction to the Motley Crue, as they're all getting out of the helicopter in different clothing, different styles of clothing, and in different ways, right? Some of them are jumping out. Some of them are walking out.
Well, it's like a D&D group, because like each person seems to fit a certain role. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesse Ventura as the barbarian. You got your token Indian guy. You got your token black guy.
It's a ranger.
You got your nerdy looking guy.
The wizard.
You know.
And it's funny. It's because there's two nerdy looking guys, but one of them has glasses and the other doesn't. So that's your wizard and your sorcerer. Or your rogue, and you get your fighter, and then your paladin, I guess.
Right.
Bringing up the rear, Mr. Schwarzenegger, who lights the cigar, starts to smoke, and it comes out, and it's sort of a reveal of who he is. You can't quite tell when he's in the back silhouette of this helicopter.
And so they all get out. They all jump in the jeeps that they have to ride through the surf across, you know, in front of four other Huey helicopters. Just as, you know, just ridiculous looking setup. Just,
it's a little gratuitous.
Right.
A little doesn't make any sense. A little who's running this army? Question marks. Which only continue further as we get into this.
Oh yeah,
this movie.
So then Schwarzenegger is greeted by a general who basically gives him the rundown that a cabinet minister. So cabinet minister, I'm guessing, is not American. So drawing some more questions, and his aide crashed in a helicopter somewhere in the jungle, and that him and his team have to go out and rescue them. And he says that the transponder, the locator from the helicopter, tells them that they crashed and were moved into guerrilla territory. And Schwarzenegger asks, well, then, just out of curiosity, why did you call us? And then from the next room, you hear Carl Weathers' voice say, because somebody said that you, some damn fool accused you of being the best.
Yeah. Much like most movies we review, I forgot how much language there was in this movie.
Really? A 1980s action film with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
I know. There was a lot more F-bombs dropped than I had remembered. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't ever catch those in my younger days.
You don't remember how many, like, okay, maybe you had different parents than I did, but mine constantly watched movies where they said, you cannot watch this. You cannot listen to this. Go to your room.
No, I guess mine didn't watch those movies. Oh. I don't know.
Especially
maybe they did. I was just oblivious. I'm not. I don't know.
Especially like say my dad. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, constantly didn't rent movies like Total Recall and you know RoboCop and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe mine did. They just waited till after I was in bed. I don't know.
Yeah. So then, okay, so Carl, you see Carl Weathers for the first time, and he's dressed up, but not like the other guy, not like the other black guy that jumped out of the helicopter. He's just got a short sleeve button up shirt and a tie on and khakis, but it's clear that he's like an office kind of guy.
I like how he has a tie,
right?
But it's a short sleeve button up shirt,
right?
Which was like, that was a thing back in that time frame. Like if you were a professional, like a manager at a factory or an engineer or something like that, you would often wear short sleeve button up shirt with a tie, which is just a crazy look nowadays. Like nobody does that look these days unless they're trying to be anachronistic.
See, I go the other way at my job. I wear a rash guard underneath a short sleeve shirt, mainly just try to save my arm from the sun. But
yeah, I could see that. That makes sense.
So we see Carl Weathers here, and we're just going to lead this into this. This is the first for those of you young people that see the memes but don't understand where they come from. This is where that meme of two really built arms like clasping each other with one with a red T-shirt on, one with a white T-shirt on. This is
white, where that meme. One black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where that
one meme of the comes arms from. Is white, one of the arms is black, super buff, clasping each other's hands.
And the first of two or three lines in this movie, classic cinema lines.
Oh no, dude, there's like 40. There are so many amazing lines in this movie. So, because some fool said you were the best.
And so Schwarzenegger turns is like, Dylan, and he walks up to him, you son of a
bitch. Beep. And they clasp hands in the manliest man way possible.
That's right. Well, and the funniest part too is like, you know, the look of like the thought that Carl Weathers could in any way, you know, have any sort of muscle against Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean,
yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Carl's Weathers pretty buff.
Yeah.
and so the hand clasp immediately turns into
a midair arm wrestling thing,
of which Arnold Schwarzenegger dominates and then starts making fun of Carl of I don't even remember what Carl Weathers' character's name is. I keep calling him Carl.
And then they start talking like they're old buddies, talking about old times, you know. Oh, I heard you were in Berlin. Oh, what about you and Libya? Chit-chatting about BS stuff.
Catching up.
Yep, catching up.
Catching up in old army fun times. And Schwarzenegger calls him a pencil pusher, you know, saying that the desk has been too easy on him. And then they get down to business. The business of finding this cabinet member. You know, and they never specify what country this cabinet member is from. I have to assume that I actually don't know what they were going for. If they were going for American cabinet member or what?
Well, it said minister, so obviously I don't think it's American. We don't call them ministers. We call them secretaries.
Yeah, that's true. Well, but it's still part of the cabinet.
Yeah, but we call them secretaries. We wouldn't call them cabinet. We call them a cabinet secretary, not a cabinet minister.
That's true.
But, you know, in the 80s, I mean, anything south of the U.S. border was pretty much a mess. I mean, pick a country, and I'm sure we've made a movie about, you know, them being a problem spot or an enemy at some point.
Yeah.
Nicaragua, Panama, pick
Panama.
One.
Panama, Panama. All right. So they then get down to business. And Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger is all about asking questions that effectively are,
why am I here?
why did you bring us in? Mm-hmm. More or less.
Yep. And basically it's just, you know, you're the best. We want the best. We got to get this done quickly. Carl Weathers is like, yep, we are going to go. And Schwarzenegger is like, well, what do you mean we? Dutch. We should call him Dutch because that's his character name. Dutch.
Yeah, Dutch.
And Carl Weathers' character's name is Dylan. It's weird, but okay.
Yeah.
Dylan's like, you know, yes, I'm going with you. And of course, in true 80s action hero style, Dutch is like, well, we work alone. We don't work with anybody.
I like that. It's a transfer from I work alone to we work alone.
Right. And of course, you know, Carl Weathers, Dylan is like, too bad.
With the mustache on or off? Off, please.
Too bad. Too bad. So we transition back into the helicopters flying over the jungle. Of course, they're playing. Jesse Ventura is playing on a boombox, a loud Little Richard song.
Yeah. So, you know, we get the introduction of the crew as they come off the helicopter. This scene really tells us about the crew, you know, in action. Jesse Ventura with the giant bag of chew and the boom box playing the, is it Lionel Richie or is it
I'd say Little Richard.
Little Richard. So yeah, it's a Little Richard song. So, you know, he's offering the chew to everybody, telling them it'll make them a man. Mm-hmm. And he's wearing this sort of Crocodile Dundee kind of hat, although he's twice as big as Crocodile Dundee. Just in, you know, height and musculature. So we meet him. We meet the token Native American, right? Who's, you know, putting his war paint on and being very stoic. And we meet the, you know, the token black guy, and he's shaving. And we learn later this is something he does when he's nervous. Yeah, but he's making sure he's all clean shaven, right? So this goes along with the wearing the suit. Looking good, going into action. And then we get around to, you know, the glasses guy, and he tells a joke about his girlfriend. Basically, he says, and then she said, and then the guy doesn't laugh. And I laughed. I thought it was a pretty funny joke. But the guy he tells it to just kind of stares at him. Who does he tell the joke to? I'm trying to remember.
Don't remember yet, because we haven't quite gotten there yet. Because we just see Ventura, we see the black guy, and then it's not the Native American guy. It's one of the other white guys. And then he messes with the nerd by trying to throw something at him, but the nerd catches it while, you know, not looking.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we come up to Dutch and Dylan going over the specifics of the mission, like, you know, backup and recon and communications and like that. And Dylan telling them, yeah, there is no backup. We're on our own once we cross into the border. That's how it is. And of course, you know, Dutch is like, well, this is just getting better and better.
Yeah. Yeah. This is getting better and better.
In my most American of accents.
Yes, the most American of accents.
So then we get to the joke. The other day I went up to my girlfriend and I said, you know, I'd like a little. She said, me too. Mine's as big as a house.
That was the long beep.
Well, the only bad word in there is the one that I bleeped.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, all right, fine. Okay, so who's he telling the joke to?
It was the Native American guy.
It was the Native American guy, okay.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like bat an eye on this one.
Right.
The later one, he laughs, but this one, not so much. Of course,
Turd tries to explain it. Like, he just retells the joke. Yeah. I guess if that's going to explain it. More chit chatting. Jesse Ventura spitting chaw on Dylan's boot.
Spit it right on Carl Weathers' boot. Weathers looks unfazed. You know, I beat up Rocky. I could take you. kind of a thing.
Yeah, he tries to stare him down. And he's, you know, that's a real bad habit. Now they get to their spot. The light's flickering. You know, hey, time to get out.
Yeah, the red light of doom, apparently, telling them that it's go time, baby. Time to get down, get funky, get into the woods. Yeah, get funky with your bad self.
And Dylan looking out going, I never knew how much I missed this. And of course, Dutch's response is like, you never were that smart. So it's, you know, just it's always just, you know, little
amazing lines. Yeah, just amazing lines. So never knew how much I missed this. Yeah, you were never that smart.
So, I mean, it's really that kind of movie that you watch with all of your guy buddies drinking, you know, low grade beer, you know, and if you need a testosterone, you know, jolt in your life, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you don't get enough. This is definitely
the movie for you.
Yes, it's definitely that movie. So they all rappel down. Everybody makes it. Nothing interesting there. Helicopter flies off.
Yeah. Now they're in the jungle.
Welcome to the jungle.
We got fun and games. Yeah. Yeah, we got fun and games. Yeah, sure. Come on in. At this point, they're just trying to make their way to the crash site.
It's like when Brian was taking blind people to the movies. They went to see the Blair Witch Project. They just walked through the woods. Walking around. Something about a map. It's over. Everybody looks really pissed off.
Everybody looks really mad. Yeah. There is a lot of wandering around the woods or the jungle, as it were. I am somewhat interested, like, to see where they filmed this thing, the various locations that they got to film in the jungle. Because some of the jungle looks similar and some of it doesn't quite look quite similar, but...
Mexico looked like.
Okay.
Sierra Madre del Sur de Oaxaca, Mexico, Mismaloya, Palenque, Puerto Vallarta.
Vallarta.
Mexico.
Filmed on location in Mexico, which may have also been where the movie took place, but we don't know.
Yes. All we know is that a lot of people speak Spanish in this.
Yes.
Because that narrows it down.
Yeah, it's only one of the most widely spoken languages in the world, other than English.
So after about, like, I don't know, a full minute and a half of guys jumping through the jungle, they find the helicopter hanging upside down in a tree.
Yep. What I find interesting is they send more than one guy up there. I don't think I would have done that.
Especially because the way they got up there was by climbing on a vine that was wrapped around it. And as they're climbing, the thing shaking back and forth.
Yeah, you can see it moving. And I'm like, was this really a good idea, folks? did we really want to... Is this a good call? Are we doing this? Okay, all right, fine. Two of us are going up. I guess the two small guys, at least that's intelligent. So you get up there and you see some blood and then you see a dead pilot.
Right. And it looked like a bunch of electrical wires were messed with.
Yeah.
And so one of the guys that climbed up there comes down, tells the Dutch that looks like it was stripped for parts and they killed the pilot.
Which leaves some question mark number of hostages. I think four, maybe.
Yes, four.
Yeah.
And that there were 12. Actually, it looks like six, it says.
Okay.
There are 12 gorillas and six people.
Right. And this is the Native American ranger.
Right.
Who is scouting the area and calling back as to what tracks he sees what equipment they're wearing. Then he springs the surprise on them is six sets of foot tracks that have American boots with American equipment.
Right. That they came in from the north and followed the gorillas. And of course, Dutch, you know, looks to Dylan because he's the CIA man on scene and says, hey, does this mean anything to you? And he's like, no, must be rebels. Yeah. Other rebels.
They're always patrolling this area or coming through here. There's already some question marks, you know, as we moved into this mission. There were question marks from the beginning, which they set up with Arnold Schwarzenegger asking questions.
Well, you're atypical. The CIA lies about everything. They'd lie about the sunset, you know.
Yep. No, that's not the sun setting.
It's getting darker, and that doesn't prove anything.
The moon's just coming out. It doesn't make it darker. I can't remember. Is this where they... No, this is not where Dylan is given the warning about being gutted.
No.
That's in a little bit here.
Yeah, just a little bit here. But there is a scene. So they're trying to follow the tracks. And of course, I guess they're trying to show that, you know, he is definitely the Native American guy because he's trying to use the resources of the forest around him. But as they're tracking their target, the Native American guy walks up, grabs a vine, hacks it with a machete, and then starts drinking what you can only assume is water from the vine. But I'm like, I don't think that's how that worked.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there, because when he drops it, it looks more like milk than water coming off the end of that thing.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like that would be safe.
Right, or a good idea, or
right.
Yeah, I don't.
So anyways, after he's done drinking the tree milk, don't know what else to call it, he's looking up to a tree and he doesn't see much until he starts climbing up there. And then lo and behold, he finds a bunch of bodies. Is this where he finds the bodies? I think it is.
He starts hearing the birds.
Right.
And that gets him curious. He's like, why are there
birds?
Why am I hearing giant birds in this tree?
And then he finds the skinned bodies of three people.
Turns out they're vultures. And they're all over these three bodies of three skinned people, which is a horrifying revelation to him and everybody else. We were trying to figure out what the heck did we just get ourselves into? Because it went from okay, we don't have any backup, and we're going into this thing because we're the best, supposedly. And okay, now there's another team that showed up before us, and now three of them are dead, and we're skinned.
Skinned and looks like gutted.
Yeah, and gutted as well. So everybody's kind of trying to figure that one out, and they end up finding a set of dog tags. And they throw him over to Dutch, and Dutch reads it off to Dylan.
Yeah, he does. And he says, they're Green Berets out of Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know anything about this? And of course, you know, Dylan's like, no, man, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, no one else is supposed to be out here.
Which I kind of assume Dylan is actually telling the truth, but I'm not entirely certain.
I think at this point, because it's the 1980s, you know, it's one of those stereotypical things to see. Like I said, CIA lies about everything.
Yeah, they're lying about this. They lied about everything. Ain't nobody got time for this. I can't remember. Do they cut the bodies down and bury them, or are they just...
Well, they cut them down.
That's right.
And everyone's a little horrified. One guy, you know, does the sign of the cross, and the black guy tells Jesse Ventura, this ain't no way for a soldier to die. And, of course, the Native American starts doing his tracking thing. Says that there was a firefight that they, you know, shot in all directions, but they can't find any footprints, and that he doesn't know where the rest of the team is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what happened here? And he's like, there was a firefight and they shot in every direction, but, you know, the other three are missing and their tracks don't. He's like, you know, before they were following the group of 12 gorillas, and now their tracks are missing. The other three tracks are missing. I don't know. Do we ever find those three guys?
I don't think so.
I don't think we do. Yeah. I wonder if they were like,
well, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but then again, it's a, what'd we say, 30, almost 40 year old movie.
It's from the 80s, 87. so that would be for almost 40. So yeah. 30. Yeah, we're pretty close. We're almost there.
So we go out with the spoilers then.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind spoiling this one.
No, because the only person they pull out of the guerrilla camp is the woman.
Right. They never find the other army guys there. And then all the hostages end up dead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, because one of the army guys, they shot in the head. Because Dutch sees that. But,
well, we don't know if it's an army guy or a hostage.
It looked like he was wearing fatigues.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, anyways, as the tracker's doing his thing, we go back to the black guy, Jesse Ventura, and the black guy's like, it's time to get out the painless, which is a minigun.
Yeah.
The machine gun.
It's time to get out the painless. Yes. It's an amazing gun that gets very hot. If you ever try and hold it and fire it, you have to be very careful about the heat coming off of that thing. Other than the, you know, it being a giant gun with kickback that you have to be aware of. But at this point, they're all sort of really motivated to go after these guerrillas because of what they did to the army, the Green Berets, you know, this inhuman stringing them up and skinning them thing. So they're all on high alert at this point.
Right. So they continue on with their patrol. And you see the camera, you know, kind of pan into something into the trees, but you really don't see it. Not even with the 80s graphics, you know, you don't see anything there. But then you see a infrared view of our heroes tromping through the woods. Yep. You know, it's all blue except for the heat coming off of the human bodies.
No, you get this music that goes along with it and this noise.
Like a clicking almost.
I can't even replicate that noise. Yeah, almost, but not quite that fast. That goes along with it, right? Which eventually we find out that's just the noise they make when they breathe. I don't know. They're always just making that noise.
It's just their signature. Yeah, just their signature sound.
Yeah, I will say that is... It's hard for me to imagine that the everything is just blue and the people are red. Like, it's not exactly how infrared works, first of all. And second of all, when it's like 100 degrees out, all that becomes pretty blurry because we're 96 degrees. So when all the stuff is about the same temperature. But either way, in showcasing something is watching them tramp around the forest. And he has some special vision where he can see them and hear them strangely. And then from this point forward, we get these flashes kind of continuously through the movie, except the parts when it wants to really build suspense up. it'll stop doing this and we'll go back to just the human perspective. But ostensibly, you know, you're getting this perspective and maybe you put two and two together that the spaceship thing has something to do with this. Probably, which has something to do with the guys being strung up and gutted. But you don't know yet, for sure. The full breadth of what's going on has not been revealed.
And so as they're marching, every once in a while, Dutch will stop and look around as if he hears something following him. Like he can sense something that's like, you know, tracking them.
Yeah, he's got that preternatural Conan the Barbarian senses kicking off.
Hero senses.
Yep.
Hero Spidey senses. Now comes the scene that you were talking about where we see Carl Weathers going through the jungle and he missteps and, you know, kicks a piece of wood down the hill and, you know, almost loses his footing. He recovers, looks around, make sure nobody heard it. And then as he's turning to get back, the other black guy basically tells him, hey, you don't know what you're doing. And if you get us in trouble, I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to gut you, boy.
So I'll bleed you out real quick.
Yeah, I'll bleed you out. Yeah, I'll bleed you out real quick and quiet. Nobody will know. Something like that along those lines. Very creepy. Solid, solid quote from this movie. Yet another wonderful quote. Don't shake your head at me. This movie is full of amazing quotes. Full of them.
Are you drinking some kind of low-grade beard right now? I bet you are.
No comment. Hey, I like to record in the same way that I watch the movie. Just hook it to my veins.
So they finally come upon the gorilla camp, and Dutch is, you know, reconnoitering, you know, checking out where all the guards are.
Yep.
Where all the hostages or leaders are. And at one point he sees a guard kicking the crap out of, he looks like an army guy. He looks like maybe one of the Green Berets, because it's definitely a white guy, and he's kicking the crap out of him.
Yeah. I figured he was one of the guys in the helicopter.
Yep. And then, you know, one of the gorillas is just kicking the crap out of him, and then pulls him by the hair and shoots him in the head. And at that point, they've pissed off the Schwarzenegger. It's like, now we're going to kill everybody.
They've killed the hostages. Time to kill everybody.
In true 80s action. Cue the fire. Cue the explosions.
Yeah. Yeah. This is about as over the top explosion. You know, we get a little bit of it more later when they shoot at the Predator, but like, this is just crazy. Every building explodes. Everything explodes. All of it explodes. It's all explosions. I like how it starts with the truck that they're using to pump water out of the ground. You know, that belt is connected to the wheel, and he takes the belt off and then moves the truck so it drives into and drops the bomb in the back of it, and it drives into the chow hall of the gorillas. Explodes, and then they all rain death and fire down on these gorillas, and it's just chaos, utter chaos.
Yeah, they just start off like a real, you know, spec ops team, you know, special operations team, you know, killing the guards quietly, defusing a claymore, you know, and they do this without anybody hearing anything, but these guys are as big as freaking, you know, a small truck.
Yeah, they're all large, you know, twice the size of regular men. They're somehow sneaking in and killing these guys quietly. Just watching the explosions happen.
I know. Yep.
More explosions.
Oh, yeah. The belt thing. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
This is atypical Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, you know, impromptu weapons.
Yep. Going to use this truck as a hammer. It's an explosion hammer. I like how pretty much that guy with the grenade launcher proceeds to blow up every structure after the carnage starts.
Right. Like, can't leave without setting everything on fire.
Everything on fire. Everything has to be on fire before we can go. That's my mission. Is it? Is that? I'm not sure that's what we're here to do. Everything has to be on fire. Are you? You absolutely sure about that? Everything.
We may have to see about getting you a psyche valve when we get back. You shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth, or I'll set you on fire. Yep. Knew that was coming.
Michael Bay explosions.
Yes, definitely. Definitely Michael Bay style. Many, many years prior to Michael Bay.
Whoa. I think it said somebody was speaking Russian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the thing, like, that all of this, remember, so Dylan eventually finds this one hut that's got all kinds of paperwork in it, and he's like, jackpot. and it's, you know, basically
the one building that hasn't been set on fire, you know, right, yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, he's on a timer, you know, this thing's gonna catch fire soon. Or get bombed, or both.
You got 10 seconds or that building's gonna get set on fire with you in or out. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.
But he's going through the papers, and he's like, I guess there's a Russian envoy coming through, and there's gonna be Russian help for the revolution or with the gorillas, and the cabinet minister was there on purpose. It wasn't like an accident, something like that. I can't even remember because of all the stuff that comes after this scene. It's like they kind of tried to shoehorn in a little like CIA.
They tried to shoehorn in story.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that speaks to the director actually trying to do a good job. There's an actual for real reason that they're there and that they're, you know, that they were sent in to try and figure this stuff out. It just turns out they're also being hunted by an alien.
And of course, as soon as the explosions are done, we get to the story. And of course, a hot chick tries to get the jump on Schwarzenegger.
As always.
And of course, he's not going to, you're not going to kill the hot chick. No, you're going to drag her through the woods with you.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that imagery.
Yeah, everybody else in the camp has to die, but not her.
And then the black guy tells Schwarzenegger, hey, we found the last of the hostages, but it looks like they're all dead now.
Why don't we use his character name, too, instead of just calling him the black guy?
What's his name?
Okay, let's spend the time to look it up, shall we?
You're trying to make me the bad guy here. You don't know it either. Trying to make me the bad guy.
You are the bad guy. You work for the government.
You don't know his name either.
That doesn't stop the fact that you work for the government.
It's Mac. His name is Mac.
Yeah, Mac. There we go. Played by Bill Duke.
Sure, after I went through the work of telling you.
Yeah. All right, let's go through all this. Bill Duke, known for Predator, Commando, X-Men The Last Stand. That's
right, you're like, he's been in a ton of stuff, and you don't even know his...
Exit Wounds. Shut up. I'm going through it right now. Going through it right now, Jag. Show you.
Show me. Oh, he was in Commando. I mean,
he was in a TV series called Black Lightning. I'm not making that up. That was the series he was in.
I see it. 2018 to 2021.
Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, Bad Country.
Everybody's been in that.
Yeah. Well, it's Law and Order.
I'm sure I've been in it without knowing.
And you probably have. He was in the Boondocks. Who did he play in the Boondocks?
Detective, it says.
Oh, man. We are really far down this rabbit hole.
Well, apparently I'm the bad guy, so we have to go do this.
That's right, government worker. Oh, he was in Battlestar Galactica. One episode. Felon.
Huh. He's in Payback.
He was in Payback.
Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
Payback, he was Detective Hicks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's one of the two detectives who are trying to kind of lord it over Mel Gibson's character.
Menace to Society, Bird on a Wire, Street of No Return, Action Jackson, No Man's Land,
Charlie's Angels, Starsky and Hutch, Kojak. I mean, he's been on one episode of every show, basically.
Yeah, Starsky and Hutch, Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kojak.
I told you, well-known actor. His character's name... I just forgot. Dadgummit.
Mac. It Mac. Was Mac. It's Mac.
Because that's hard to remember. It's true, folks. We're terrible people. But we all knew that going into this. So Mac, I don't remember what we were talking about.
Is telling him that they killed all the hostages.
That's right.
So that the gorillas had killed all the hostages. And then that, Dutch says for him to get all the guys together and get ready to move out.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Jesse Ventura and the other guy are trying to take out the last remaining guy that's left. And of course, the other guy that's with him, what is his character name?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this right.
I think it's Billy.
So Jesse Ventura's character is Blaine. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is Billy.
Besides, what's he gonna do? He's gonna get the guy out by using a grenade launcher, much like he would use a machine gun. Just shoot off a bunch of rounds. And then we get to the part where, like you said, Carl Weathers, where Dylan finds all the intel.
Yep. This is also where the girl comes out, right? Or no?
No, we already saw the girl.
That's right. Schwarzenegger.
And like I said, knocked her out because she was pretty. Instead of killing her.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if I remember right, she was also unarmed. No, she wasn't. She had a gun.
No, she was right. She was trying to get the jump on Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, and
on so, Dutch.
Like, she comes up behind him and then doesn't shoot him. And then gets overpowered by him. It's kind of like, were you sure you knew what the gun was for? That's for shooting people at range so that you don't have to get close to them.
Well, you know, just another way of Hollywood telling people in the 80s that women don't know how to use guns.
Yep, that's hey, Hollywood
don't
for
blame
you.
Me blame 1980s Hollywood.
Yeah, I do too. So Dylan finds all the stuff, breaks open the actual plot, but not really.
Right. And again, you know, shocked the CIA lied.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of course, outraged the CIA would dare lie to the US military.
Yeah.
How could they?
What is it Dylan says? It's their, you know, their pawns in this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's accepted it. You should accept it too, kind of a deal.
Well, yeah. Isn't that kind of, you know, isn't that the thing? It's like, all right, but you're in it now. So what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
There's only one way out. So now we get to. And so, and here's the funny part. It, like you said, this is all like leading to a story that really doesn't have anything to do with the real story.
Yeah. it's a really good red herring.
Well, if you didn't know the name of the title of the movie, you'd think, oh, okay, this is, you know, like a commando movie, you know?
Yeah.
Except that's not what it is at all.
No. So you got the girl, and I don't remember why Dylan says that she's too valuable, because Dutch is like, leave her, you know, I don't care. We got to go.
Well, Dutch is like, you know, she'd give her position away, kill her, you know? Yeah.
And Dylan's like, no, she's too valuable.
Right, because she could give them information, they can interrogate her.
Yeah. And they get on the radio and they find out that the location they're in is now like super hot. All the guerrillas are moving their direction and they can't get evacuated by chopper. They have to get to this rendezvous point. And looking at on the radio where all the guerrillas are coming from, there's only one way out. And it's through this valley. And I can't remember what the Native American guy says, but it's something like, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Dutch is like, well, we're going for it. We're going for it. Yeah, that didn't work either. I don't know. Get to the chopper. Anyways.
So
from this point, we get to the actual movie.
Right.
You know, up to this point.
All this lead up.
Yeah. We've been doing commando fun zone stuff. But now we're going to move into the actual movie. And I think this is probably a pretty good place to pause.
32 minutes into the movie with an hour and 14 minutes. So basically a third of the way of the movie.
Yeah, I told you. This is going to be very similar, I think, to Escape from New York. We'll probably end up with 3 episodes out of this. Especially if we go on tangents where we talk about American Dad for 20 minutes.
I guess I'll just have to come up with a nickname for the hot chick in this one.
Her name's Anna, Bruce. You racist mother...
What? I didn't mention her race at all.
Racist.
So she was the hot chick.
That's racist, Bruce.
I don't think you know what that word means.
I don't. Look, just accept it.
Wait. Oh.
Remember, folks, we have a Patreon, Pat and the Fat Man. Head over to Patreon and become a patron. For as little as $1 a month, you'll get access to all of our extra material. I do think our podcast is worth at least that. If we've made you laugh, really think about it. You won't miss $1 a month.
And just think about this. You know, your money could help buy Pat a dictionary so you can look up words like racist.
That is such a racist thing to say, Bruce.
How? This is why you need a dictionary.
PatTheFatMan.com. If you would like to leave us a comment on whatever podcast, please subscribe to our show, download them, highly rate us, as it will serve other people the show. The more people listen to and rate us, tell us, tell your friends, family, and strangers on the street about us. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Get to the chopper.
Ah, so racist.
Stop using that word.
His name is Mac Bruce, you evil bastard.
You didn't know until I told you his name was Mac.
Well, I read it at the same time you said it, so I mean, that counts.